week on All My Children.
If All My Children was the Olympics, the lesbians bring home the gold.
Greeley gets the silver medal for her swan dive into the ravine.
Annie gets the bronze medal for wrestling that dumb bitch with the hypodermic needle to the ground.
And the dishonorable mention goes to Adam for his not-so-riveting dead-behind-the-eyes performance.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Family, Kendall. It's about family. 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 He sure is teaching his family very good values, isn't he? I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
But you can't go!
I'm gonna go!
You can't! It will kill me, Franklin! It will kill me!
There are people that need me to go!
That are not watching the show, we watch so you don't have to.
And you're gonna have to start paying us for that because I don't know how much long I can watch with you.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
First of all, I'm gonna say it. I'm just gonna come out and say it. I am not amused. Are you watching those unedited versions of Soap Nut?
Maybe that was the one.
You won't be watching them for much long, especially not on the weekend.
Angela, baby, I didn't do nothing, Angela.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And you are listening to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending February 20th, 2009.
Woo!
My, how time flies.
Time does fly. And you know what I'm thinking about right now?
What?
I'm thinking about that Bonnie Raitt song that I love so much.
Which one?
Let's Give Them Something to Talk About. Because finally, after like 7 months, All My Children has given us something to talk about.
That's a good...
And something good. But I actually am a little bit excited about All My Children this week. I was actually not...
Hold on. This needs something.
What?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You're so stupid.
I'm sorry, but it's kind of a miracle.
It is a miracle. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still think the show sucks and there's a lot wrong with it. But at least I was able to watch it and I didn't want to hurl, you know?
Listen, I have a question for you.
What?
I do not watch all the shows. I watch hardly any. I watch One Life to Live and All My Children.
Uh-huh.
What is the worst show on television? Soap.
Soap?
Yes, worst soap. Daytime soap.
I don't watch Days of Our Lives, so I can't really comment. I mean, from the clips that I've seen of Bold and the Beautiful, that looks dreadful to me, too. I mean,
aren't their ratings good, though?
Well, yeah, because they're Bill Bell soap. Bill Bell soaps always get, like, good ratings. I mean, though, I don't understand it, but...
Well, you always say Bill Bell. What does that mean?
You're a liar. You know who Bill Bell is.
I don't.
You don't know who William Bell is, the creator of Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful, who passed away, like, a couple of years ago. You don't know who he is.
All right, fine. I'm a fraud. I'm a big, giant fraud.
You're serious?
I don't know nothing about soaps. I host a very popular podcast about soap operas, and I am a fraud.
Oh, my God.
I'm a loser. I know nothing about soaps.
I didn't realize you didn't know that.
You always say, we've talked about Bill Bell.
I don't this time you didn't know Bill Bell was.
No, but you know what? This is what I figure. I figure by revealing myself as the fraud that I am, other people could learn something.
Yeah.
So for those people who don't know who the Bill Bell shows, what the Bill Bell shows are, now they know. Tell them,
Jordan. Yes, Bill Bell's soaps are Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful. And he gave over, he gave over Bold and Beautiful to his son, Bradley Bell. All the Bell children are involved with the show. Even their, like, spouses are involved with the show. His daughter, Laura Lee Bell, was Cricket on Young and the Restless.
That sounds like a soap opera in itself.
Well, it is.
I would watch that soap opera.
Well, the thing with Bold and the Beautiful, Bold and the Beautiful is the only soap opera that's a half hour still. It's always been a half hour, still a half hour.
So that's why it's the ratings?
I think, you know what it is? It's that kind of thing, like, people are just, like, you know when you're, like, used to something?
Yeah.
That's it. They're just used to it. They don't know no better. They don't know to give it
up.
Are you
serious? It's got to be more than that.
I think that soap opera has this, I think it's been on for, like, over 20 years, and it's the same storyline.
Really?
Ridge and Brooke break up.
Bold and the Beautiful has
Ridge,
been on for 20 years?
Something like that. Ridge and Brooke get together. Ridge and Brooke break up. Ridge and Brooke get together. For 20 years, these two have been breaking up and getting together. And everybody in that town has slept with everybody. The in-laws are sleeping together. Uncle, honey, it's a half-hour show. They can only have so many characters. I can't stomach that show. And every time I see clips for it during Guiding Light and As the World Turns, I'm like, I cannot believe. The soup has been, when Passions got canceled, the soup picked on Bold and the Beautiful next. Because Bold and the Beautiful has some horrible scenes. And they were snapping on it. And then Young and the Restless went through a really rough patch. And now, because, you know, they got most of the cast of All My Children on it, it's getting better.
Oh, it's true.
That's true. They have our little Elizabeth Hendricks.
Elizabeth Hendricks, and played Maggie.
Billy, what's his name? Billy Ray, what's his name? The one who played Annie's
Billy
brother.
Billy Miller.
They're on it, and they're causing quite an uproar. Everybody's loving their characters and stuff. And like,
what about James Mitchell? No, not Palmer.
That's Palmer.
No, the guy who played Ethan.
Oh, the one you like?
Yeah.
Zach's son?
Yeah.
He's on Days of Our Lives. And
his name is James.
He's on Days of Our Lives, and he brought up the heat quote on Days of Our Lives.
Thank
Days
you.
Of Our Lives love him.
I have been vindicated as to the hotness of Mr. James. What's his name?
I told you. I agree with you now. I saw him without his shirt on. I don't think All My Children ever really gave him that.
Lovely.
I mean, Days of Our Lives has him without his shirt on like every day. All My Children should have done that. Maybe their ratings would have gone up.
All right.
Well, we got some news. This is not a spoiler alert. This is news, okay?
News
not a
news.
Spoiler alert. We're not spoiling
it's not
anything.
News. It's news.
In Friday, the recent
that's a proper British use of the diphthong, isn't it, Jordan?
Say it again.
News.
Yes. Well, in the Daily News soap column this Friday, what was Friday's date? The 20th. They announced that Thorsten K. has reached an impasse in his contract negotiations with All My Children.
So, I didn't know that.
I gotta tell you, and I said this in the blog.
He's going with One Life to Live.
I said this in the blog a couple of weeks ago that it would be better for him to go back to Orlando. You told me that you don't think All My Children will let him go. This is a perfect bargaining tool. If he's asking for too much money and All My Children can't afford him, that would make him free, and One Life to Live would snap him up. They'd be silly not to. Let me tell you, right now, it's a prime thing for him to go back to One Life to Live.
How would his storyline end?
Well, on All My Children?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't care because I don't like Zach, and they've destroyed the character
you
Zach.
You and Super Poster don't like Zach.
They destroy any redeeming. Look, I can differentiate between me not liking an actor or a character, but me realizing the character's worth. When they first brought him on, I know you're going to laugh, but I thought they would bring him on for Eric. I thought him and Susan Lucci would be good together. I really did. I was surprised when they started throwing him with my Maria. See, I didn't like him for that reason. That's the reason I didn't like Zach, because Zach was getting him involved with my Maria and Edmund.
That was weird.
I didn't like that. And then when they threw him with Kendall, I know you guys like Zach and Kendall, but that kind of weirded me out too. She slept with his son. She was involved with his son. And you know, and he was always a little too highfalutin, but the character was very noble and honorable. He was very honest, you know, in your face. He never played games like most people. And they destroyed that in the last few months.
Then he became a murderous thug.
Chuck Pratt has, in 6 months, Chuck Pratt destroyed the honorable character Zach. So as far as I'm concerned,
Thorsten's got to be feeling that,
I think. I would hope so. If he's the kind of actor that I think he is, somebody who actually really is into his craft and integrity, I would think that he would totally want to leave and go back to One Night to Live. One Night to Live is on a hot streak
right now
with a great head writer.
Oh, so good.
And right now, his
and
character...
And all the writers are good, too.
Yeah. And his character coming back would be in a perfect position right now, because he could come back and straighten out his son, Cole, who's on drugs. And then when he finds out
that's
that Todd...
That's his son. You can't.
And then when he finds
Toronto,
out...
Cole is Zach's son.
Zach's character on One Night to Live is Patrick Thornhart.
Whatever.
Who was involved with Marty. Now then, when he finds out what Todd did to Marty, he will beat Todd down worse than Marty and John's beating down. I'll tell you that. Patrick does not play around. Todd will be on the hospital on a ventilator fighting for his life.
It
gets even better, because then he will try to win back Marty, the love of his life. And she doesn't know who the hell he is. And he's not going to know who she is, because he never knew this Marty before the rape.
You need to go right.
He knew the Marty after the rape, when she was a nice girl. Not this Marty, the old Marty. And then when she keeps rejecting him after months and months, who does he turn to? But his other love, Blair. Him and Blair almost had a kid together.
You people.
You didn't know that, did you?
You need to have a writing campaign for Jordan Hudson to become one of the new, maybe not the head writer, because we do love Ron Carlisle writing, but you need to be his right-hand man right now.
I'm telling you.
Or the director.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ron C. and Frank V. aren't already thinking this and wanting him back to be on. And Susan Haskell, who plays Marty, I don't know if they're married legally. I think they're like Puerto Ricans, common law, But they have two kids together.
You mean like me and Carlos?
You guys aren't like legally married?
No.
No, you just been shacking up?
Shacking up.
When's he going to make an honest Latin woman of you?
don't know.
If there is such a thing. I'm just kidding.
That's
hey,
me.
I'm Latin. I can say that.
He could say that. Well, listen, I think that's
so
a good
what do you
idea.
Think? But, I mean, I'm not surprised by this, though. Are you surprised that he might want out, or... I mean, we're assuming.
You know
I mean,
what I'm more surprised by?
What?
That he has remained faithful to Susan Haskell. Torsten.
I mean, you don't know their personal life.
He
you
seems
don't know
like a player.
About. He seems like a player to me, too. I don't, I, you know.
I saw him interview a lady.
What is he, Scottish? Or, all the Scottish and Irish are like.
You people, we all saw him, all of us that are fans, saw him interview a librarian. Didn't a librarian interview him or some crap like that?
I don't remember that.
There was some clip on some internet show or something about him being interviewed. And he had that woman eating out of his palm. She was ready to jump on. And she was like an older lady.
Well, now, do we know what he is? What is he, Scottish, Irish? He's
Dutch.
Something Dutch or something. You know, all
Super
of those
Poster
all of
know.
Those all of those guys from that area, they're all charming players.
Super Poster
all
would know all this stuff. You guys,
they
I'm gonna give Super Poster a plug. I haven't been plugging my man enough lately. He's amazing. www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. You need to go if you are a true fan of All My Children, as we are, you need to go check out Super Poster's blog fan site because it's awesome. He has all that information.
Well, all I know is that all those people like the Irish, the Scottish, all that from that area.
That was a more
they all know how to charm the panties right off a woman, let me tell you.
Well, he does.
I'm saying you don't know what his personal life is. You don't know if he's a big player.
Well, all I know is
or they can have an open relationship.
He's delicious to look at.
Doesn't do it for me.
No, but listen, and we haven't talked about All My Children yet, but that's okay because...
But this is all My Children related?
It's sort of all related.
Well, look, all I got to say
is... I was
going
to tell them about the Cassie DePiva interview.
Oh, go ahead.
This is how it links people to All My Children. Cassie DePiva talked about Susan Haskell... And how, what a good mother she is. And she, as you know, she's the mother of Torsten Kate's children.
Two.
So she's apparently like a very hardworking actress, but also a really good mom and a really real normal person.
Yeah.
And I don't think she fake cried on One Life to Live this week, people.
No, Susan Haskell doesn't fake cry, people.
I don't think she does, honey.
She won an Emmy the first time around on One Life to Live. She does not. That's not fake. That's all real, girl.
I think she's pretty good.
That's all real. Susan Haskell.
I think she's real.
Susan Haskell's the real deal.
You might be thinking of Susan Lucci.
Well, we know that's not her strong suit. But I'm gonna comment. I'm gonna tell you why All My Children rock for me this week a little bit.
Joanna Carson.
Who's that?
She wrote Wednesday's episode. I nominated her for head writer.
I got to tell you, Wednesday's episode, I was feeling big time. And I mean, we talked...
Excellent writing.
We'll get into the lesbians because the lesbians really... I mean, they brought home the whole week.
Oh, my God.
What?
So good.
Yeah. I'm not even going to say anything about, like... I'm saying the whole week of the lesbians was like bang, like just banging. They carried the whole week of the show for me. But I have to single this person out because we've been... Since Chuck Pratt took over, we've been ragging on her, calling her Ken doll. And the reason we've been calling
She's
her that...
back, baby.
The reason we've been calling her that is because Chuck Pratt... And I blame everything on Chuck Pratt. Chuck Pratt, I blame the starving kids in Ethiopia on you, too. Because everything that goes wrong in the world is your fault, Chuck Pratt.
Suck it, Chuck Pratt.
For the last 6 months, he has not known how to write Kendall. And I'll tell you why. Because the thing about Kendall, you got to understand something. The thing that makes Kendall beautiful is that she is her mother's daughter. Unlike Bianca, who obviously gets more of her genes from Travis's side of the family.
But she's got some of them this week.
Yeah, she will. No, see, but there's a difference.
You disagree with Zach?
No. There's a difference between Bianca. When Bianca gets angry, it's because Bianca's right about something. Kendall gets on the defense like her mother.
I'm sorry, she messed up. Go ahead.
Well, we'll talk about that.
We digress.
The thing about Kendall is this. You have to understand, the beautiful thing about Erica Kane's character, and I'm going to go back a little bit in history for you people who don't know. Erica Kane is a complex character. She was one of the first characters. Before that, I think a lot of characters in the daytime were like good and bad. And with Erica, it was the first time that we saw somebody who was human. She was somebody who was like rejected
warts,
by her father.
Her warts and all.
Yeah, she was rejected by her father. She had dreams and ambitions. She wanted to be bigger than the small town that she lived in and living there. And she wanted more out of life. And I think people related to that. They related that. So when you understand that when Erica did something bad, it wasn't something out of maliciousness. It wasn't something out of like just being evil the way some characters on soaps are. She was trying to get to.
Clouded her.
Yeah, there was a desire to achieve things, and she would do what she needed to do to get ahead.
But that's
ambition. There's a difference. That's what made her character so likable. And you got to understand something. When it comes down to the end of the world
but
or whatever,
it also made her wrong sometimes.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying though is that it was never done. Like she wasn't just an evil. She wasn't Janet like from another planet or Dr. David or something like that. There was heart there. And when it all comes down to it, and the end of the world or whatever, and people think back on soap operas, they're only. And I don't care how big a Days of Our Lives fan and Young and the Restless fan you are. There's only three names that are going to be associated with daytime TV when it's all said and done: Luke and Laura, and Erica Kane, Susan Lucci.
Because who's the third?
That's it. Okay. Luke, Laura, Susan Lucci. Those three characters. Everybody knows who Luke and Laura is, and everybody knows who Erica Kane is. It doesn't make a difference how All My Children was in the ratings, if they were number one for 20 years like Young and the Restless. When All My Children was hot in the 70s and 80s, Susan Lucci ruled. Everybody knew who Erica
Acne
Kane was. She was pregnant. We already talked about that.
I'm referring to the 1970s disco episode and, where they did close-ups on Ms. LaLucci. Poor lady.
And we said she was pregnant.
Well, she clearly didn't have what Melissa Claire Egan and Chrishell Stiles had.
What, that?
Proactive.
Whatever. Anyway, so the point I'm getting to is the thing that made Kendall so beautiful was when they brought Kendall on, Kendall was just like her mother. She wanted her mother's love, and she would do anything she had to do.
When she came on in town, the first thing she Sarah, did.
Who? Which one?
I'm sorry.
Alicia or Sarah?
Alicia's Kendall.
Yeah.
The first thing that woman did when she came into town was she shacked up in the hotel, the Pine Cone Inn, with Ryan, Karen Matheson, and the shit out of him.
Exactly. She was her mother's daughter, and through all these storylines, even those horrible Megan
back when he was a man.
Even during those horrible Megan McTavish storyline with the Satin Slayer, Alicia still was Kendall. And Chuck Pratt comes and ruins her character.
Makes her whiny, baby.
Makes her a nosy body. That's not Kendall. Kendall's not the kind of person who is...
She got her own things.
Thank you.
She got her own trying to get
Greenlee with Ryan and getting on Annie. And I think I mentioned this in a podcast once. The one time that I thought it would work for me is if we found out that Kendall really wanted Ryan. Remember when I told you that?
Yes.
That's how you could have... I could have understood her behavior.
But no.
But that wasn't the case.
It was dumbass stupidity.
It was dumbass stupidity on the writer's part. And now she's come out of this coma and she has reason to be vengeful.
That's the only
because
good
she
thing
was
that
wrong.
Dumbass story
she was wrong. And everything about Kendall since she's woken up from the coma has been flawless. My Alicia's back.
Flawless.
And she is playing everything so beautifully. The way she chooses certain scenes, she underplays certain scenes, she just gets just right. I mean, Alicia, you're making
we
me
worship
want.
You.
I worship you. You're making me cry, girl. You are so fabulous.
Water.
You are so fabulous since you got out of that coma. I cannot tell you how, when you come on the screen, how you light up the screen. And Homegirl doesn't even have that much makeup on it. She looks great.
Hell no, she's beautiful.
She's just stunning. And I want to give special props out to her because she... Since for the last 2 weeks, she's been bringing it.
Do we got a recap?
Yes, let's start because this week was good. I want to recap. This week was good.
All right. So I'm going to try to... I got too many notes again. That's the problem.
All right, let's go to it.
I didn't like Mondays how it started because we got a repeat of the whole
and the Fridays. But they do that all the time now.
Annoying.
They do that all the time now.
Was that Greenlee's engagement ring when she was in the water? They showed a ring on her?
I think so.
It was ugly. It looked like it was from the Cracker Jack box. It was like this thick gold band, but like thick. Like so thick with a heart on it that would look like fake quartz or something. I don't know.
Well, ABC's so broke, it probably was from a Cracker Jack box.
My God, it was ugly.
All right.
She twitched.
What?
Right? Am I right?
I don't know. It was the set was so dark. I really couldn't.
It seemed like to me like they made Greenlee twitch so as if we thought that there was possible that it was possible that she was alive.
But why? Why keep the character alive?
And why would the character run?
The character has left so like this is what I want to get into that yet. I'll talk about that later.
Right.
Let's get to some recapping for people.
But what I loved about it. I kind of like that she died very similar to how Leo died. I thought that was all right. I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't love was Ryan's bullshit cannonball into the water. He cannonballed. He took off all his clothes and cannonballed. You dive into a ravine. You don't cannonball. And what was so funny was I was waiting. You heard the splash sound effect? I was waiting for someone to throw a bucket of water from off the set on him to make it look like he jumped in. It was so cheap. On One Life to Live, they have real water.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Anyway, Ryan, of course, gets hypothermia from being in the water. And Zach takes the blame. The cops all come. So Zach has told Kendall that he's going to take the blame. And he does.
Well, he should.
I agree.
It's all his fault anyway.
And then, this is all just, like, kind of stuff that, like, just details, if you will excuse me, I need to provide them for y'all that don't watch, because...
We watch, so you don't have to.
So, and this week it wasn't that bad. So, okay, so Brian here is the cop, and I like those cops. For some reason, the upstate cops or the Connecticut cops are better than the Pine Valley cops.
In what way? In acting?
Yes. They're more homey, if you will.
They're more homely?
Homey.
Oh, okay.
You know, like country, homey.
Okay.
You know, like nice. Anyway, and they have those nice, like, who's the character, that Moose, that cartoon character?
Moose.
Dudley and Dudley Do-Right. They wear, like, those Canadian cop uniforms.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know.
That's what it reminded me of.
All right. She's very peculiar.
I'm telling you, that's what I thought of. Anyway, Ryan hears the cop tell Zach that Zach was driving on the wrong side of the road, and wow. All I can say is wow about Ryan's response, his acting response to this information. He did that thing where he grits his teeth, and he acts really angry. I'm really angry. I'm really angry, Zach. I'm really angry.
Oh my God, you sounded like him.
That's how he does it, right? Anyway, listen, I agree with him. Greenlee was killed because of Zach and Reese's infidelity. I agree with that. I thought I was very ass too last week when I made that comment on last week's podcast. So Zach admits to kissing Reese because, was it? Oh, because Ryan reveals to Kendall at that moment everything, except he says that Zach slept with Reese.
Yeah.
And this is all while they're all out people in the woods near this ravine looking for Greenlee. This reveal is happening. And I liked it, though.
Yeah, but why would he say that they slept together? He only saw them kiss. He don't know what happened.
He's a man, you know. Their minds go to different places.
I just found that weird that he kept saying, you're like it'd be one thing if he saw them doing the deed. But all he saw was a little match, little... I don't know.
I wouldn't want to see them doing the deed. She's too skinny. She is. She's too skinny.
Our bodacious Bianca and our razor-thin Reese.
Doesn't work for me, people. No offense. Anyway, Ryan stays out there, but the search and rescue becomes a search and recovery. And then this is where Jerkson and Tad and Jake come and help out. And Jesse pops up from out of nowhere.
Okay, this is... I'm gonna comment on this because this is really annoying me. He is the chief of police of Pine Valley. Why is he, like, everywhere but Pine Valley? And why is he on every case? It makes no sense that the chief of police would be coming out. And, I mean, they did explain because Ryan did have a line where he said, well, Jesse, this is why I called you here to help, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, how would you call the chief of police of Pine Valley and expect them to come and help you find your, like, wife? It's like, it's just too ridiculous. I don't believe it. And the thing that's annoying me more, and I said this in the podcast, is that Jesse is basically becoming Derek Fry. No storyline. Just they need a minority cop, and that's what he is.
Look,
Jesse is becoming Derek Fry. He's basically, we need a minority person as a cop, and that's what he is.
And no storyline.
No storyline.
Oh, don't say
and,
it.
No, it's true. If you have not noticed this, Chuck Pratt's come on, that the African-American storyline has been zilch. Except for that aborted storyline with Rebecca and Natalia. He does not know how to write for Jesse and Angie. Jesse and Angie are leads. When Barbara and James were writing it, did you not realize that they brought them back and they were full force and it was great that All My Children was all of a sudden a little bit more balanced when it came to color on the show? Because God knows the Santos have been gone for quite some time. I used to love my Santos family.
I know. When are we going to get Puerto Ricans back on a...
Or Latins, or period. Latin. Well, they weren't Puerto Rican. They were Mexican. On One Night to Live, they're Puerto Rican.
Oh.
Carlotta and them are Puerto Rican on One Night to Live.
All right.
But, I mean, I'm really getting disgusted with the way Jesse and Angie are being treated. And I don't know. I'm just sick of Jesse popping up everywhere.
I thought that you were going to make some commentary, some astute commentary on Jerkson's performance.
There would have to be a performance first for me to comment on it. Look, I'm going to say this right now.
Say it. Say it, baby. That's what we're here for.
Walt Willing, it may not have been in the script, But you as an actor need to know that you got to play what's not between the lines.
Your daughter's dead.
Your daughter's dead, you fool. Do something. Cry. Do something. I know they didn't give you like a monologue to say that shows how torn up you are about it. But nodding your head like you have like, you know.
Maybe that day you should have skipped the hair gel, the mousse, and some of the pancake makeup. And brought your real true self to the set to grieve over your daughter, you dumbass.
I'm sorry. I'm sure he's a nice guy, Walt Woody, but he's somebody.
Well, Willie, I'm sure you're really nice.
You need to go. That was really your time on the show is. The problem with all my children doesn't know how to let a character go when there's no more storyline for them.
Are we being too mean?
No, we're not. Because in this day and age where people are, there's not enough money to pay for people, he's somebody who needs to go. Hmm. Not Brooke. Okay.
Well, what about the fact that Erica comforted Jerkson?
That wasn't enough. This is why the show is badly written. First of all, you're warp speeding the storyline like nobody's business. What is this, Star Trek Voyager? We have to go on warp speed. It's like, this is a soap opera. You got like 5 days out of the week to tell a story, an hour each day. Use it. Tell the story.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking of Wednesday's episode where, you know, Ryan basically grimaces his way through the scenes at this lake or ravine or whatever the hell it is on Mondays and Tuesdays episode. And then Wednesday, Adam comes and Adam punches Ryan.
That Ryan Neanderthal head didn't move. That was not a punch.
His Ryan Neanderthal head didn't move.
That was not a punch. That was a bitch slap.
But he had a fist.
It was a bitch slap. It was not a punch. May have looked like a fist. It may have been a fist, but for some reason, it sounded like a 12-year-old little girl bitch slapping somebody. My little 10-year-old niece can hit somebody in the face harder than what Adam did. That was the most pathetic looking scene. And the way Ryan looked at him, I wanted Ryan to go like this, boom, right back in his face and knock him down to the ground. I wanted Ryan to clock that stupid Brit. And I love my British people, but not this British person. He is an idiot. He needs to go. He gave the worst performance of his ever on this show this week.
But I thought it was really funny because Jesse's there and Jesse sees this quote unquote fight. And Jesse is a little enthusiastic and trying to bring it up. He's like, get out of here! Go home! Go! Get out of here, Adam! Go! It was a little much.
I know, especially because Adam wasn't doing anything. Adam was like this. It's your fault, Ryan, the Greenly shirt.
Yeah, do it.
It's your fault, Ryan, the Greenly shirt. Greenly, you did that to everybody. You did it to Greenly. You did it to Annie. And you did it to Jillian. You did it to Jillian.
How did he do
that? He sounded like a little girl taunting him. It was like, oh my God.
How did he know about Jillian?
Exactly my point. There was a couple of things like that this week where people were mentioning things that I'm like, why would Adam, he didn't even know Jillian. He wasn't even in town when Jillian was alive. Yeah, you could say, well, maybe out of all these years of them sleeping with the same people, somebody might have said, oh, you know, at one point Ryan was married to this girl named Jillian, but then like somebody like chopped her heart out or something. But no, the point is that why would Adam mention her? It's so stupid.
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 But listen, what did you think about at this moment Ryan is left alone to his own devices and sits at the lake or the ravine or whatever and he has the Greenly memory montage?
I thought, oh my God, Rebecca Budwig's eyebrows were so big. Did you see those thick eyebrows she had?
She got much prettier as she got older.
Yeah, she did. Well,
she's beautiful now.
She was beautiful back then, but those eyebrows, she definitely needed to go to the Dominican Girls up in Washington Heights and get her eyebrows done.
But she wasn't sexy like she is now. Like, she was like
honey,
a little girl
back then.
Honey,
it's those eyebrows. I'm telling you, those eyebrows were not pretty back then.
I would have preferred a Leo montage myself.
But it was interesting to find out that I forgot how Greenlee did like Ryan first when she came on the show.
Remember
she was
that, at the island. I liked that, yeah. But then she fell in love with Leo, and that was her true love.
I agree with
true
you.
True love.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
Every soul character should have the true love.
And I agree with you on that one. I'm not arguing that one.
Oh, I know.
But I just got this to say. I think Cameron Matheson, I think your time on All My Children's up too. And I think you
I
should think.
There's some beauty pageants
I think,
coming up.
No, I think. You know what
that
I think?
You could
he,
host?
No, I think. You know what I think he'd be good for? I think he should replace.
Turning the letters?
No,
on.
No. I think he should replace Joey Fatone. And he should be with Lisa Rinna doing those red carpet events on E! That's what I think Cameron Matheson's future is like.
Well, I've seen him on Good Morning America.
He was interviewing the Jonas Brothers, I heard.
Something like that, yeah.
Or something. I think
he's good for that.
Cameron, you're a nice person. You're good for that.
You're a nice guy, good looking.
You will never be doing Hamlet on Broadway. So just give it up. And he's another character who I think
this is too mean. No, I can't take it.
Look. As far as I'm concerned, after this week, you could put Kobe and Rancid together, and I still want Adam gone. Adam needs to go.
You could be mean about, but I feel bad about Cam.
No, I like Cam. I like you, and there have been times where you actually did give a good performance. Like when you thought you were in love with Kendall, I was feeling you. I was even feeling you Friday when I saw your ass in those. His ass looked phenomenal in those pants he wore on Friday's episode. Did you see Friday's episode? He was wearing these pants that were kind of like very hoochie. I was like,
his butt stands.
Those were like a gay man's pants.
Got a glass of water on that thing.
Those were like a gay man's pants. They were super tight. For a minute, I thought he was wearing my body wear pants. Have you ever seen me in my body wear pants?
No.
They're this Canadian store, body. I don't know if they still exist in Canada, but the store closed here in New York. And I have, they're very comfortable though.
When we take our picture, our press
photo. That's just so stupid.
Who asked us about that? I think it was Susan and Elise. I think you guys asked us about having a photo. I'm not so photogenic. I feel embarrassed. Do you want to do a photo?
I'm not photogenic either.
You know what the other problem is? We say so much nasty shit about people. I'd be so scared that some of y'all would find us and beat the crap out of us.
Or snap on us and say, who are they to be judging? They're ugly.
That's true. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not like we're like, you know.
No, I'll say it.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
I'm good looking.
You are good looking.
I'm not saying that I'm all that, but I'm not a troll.
Listen. Listen, we need George Clooney and Julie Roberts, if you know what I'm saying.
I wouldn't want to be George Clooney. I don't think he's good looking.
You know what I'm saying. Someone good looking. Hugh Jackman.
Colin Egglesfield.
Woo! We ain't no Colin Egglesfield nor Chrishell Stouse. So
but we good.
We hold our own, but we ain't under any delusions about what we look like. Hence, no press photo.
You're so stupid.
Maybe it will come soon.
Maybe. Anyway. Getting back to his ass in those pants, I've never been attracted to Cameron Matheson. He is somebody who, like, I just do not feel that way. Brad Pitt's another one.
Oh, you're crazy. He's gorgeous.
No, I think Brad Pitt is a very sexy, good-looking man. Do I want to have sex with him? No. Now, Angelina, yes. When I saw Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I was getting a much more woody from watching Angelina than... That face and those lips, no.
I agree.
No, she's...
I'm not putting her down because she's perfection. I look at that woman put on a black dress. That woman could put on a black dress from Kmart. Like some crappy black dress with like some fake rhinestones or some crap and look like Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, she does it for me. He doesn't. So Cameron, your ass was looking slamming in those pants on Friday's episode. That's
slamming
all I could say.
Ass. Good commentary equals great host for the next Miss America. That's what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm saying. All right, listen.
Getting back.
All right, Ryan. We have the Ryan Greeny montage. And then Kendall gave a brilliant performance. Before she goes to see Ryan, she tries to have dinner with Zach. Her performance when she ate the salad, I really believed every single leaf went down that gullet. Every piece of chicken, the way she handled that fork, I believe she was eating. I believed it. Did you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
He hates when I make fun of Kendall.
You leave my Kendall alone.
Alicia,
she's back. Leave her alone. The man Alicia meant she's back.
But listen, then she goes to see Ryan, okay? Kendall goes to see Ryan because she knows that he's going to need her support when he has to tell Emma that Greenlee's dead. Quote-unquote.
Wait a minute. That was when she told... And Zach said, where are you going? She said to go to Ryan. And Zach had the audacity to say, like, question her about that.
Yeah.
And she was like, because he's going to need me. Zach, you an ass.
She didn't even respond to it. That's how much I love Kendall.
No, she said, she just turned around and she goes, because he's going to need me. And yeah,
what I mean. Like, she didn't have any hesitation. She
no defensiveness. That's my Kendall.
She stated the facts.
That's my Kendall. When she's in the right, she knows
just
it.
Just like on Friday's episode when she told him she slept over Ryan's place. She didn't even wince. She didn't even hesitate. She did not make one defense or excuse. She said, I slept over Ryan's house.
Because it doesn't make a difference that he's covering for her because she's the one who's really driving. That still does not negate the fact that he let his sperm go into her sister to produce a child.
I Agree. And what I was going to say is that when they break the news to Emma, of course, Ryan is like so dead behind the eyes, trying so hard to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And tell Emma that Greenlee's gone.
You do that. I love it.
But I'm clenching my teeth. Greenlee's good. But.
You sound like it when you do it, though.
I don't know what to say.
You sound like it when you do it. That's so funny.
Listen, what I'm saying is that Kendall, Alicia Minshew, saved that scene with her touching, soft, beautiful, gentle performance with Emma. The child that... Who's the child? Lucy Cole.
I don't know.
Lucy something. I love me some Lucy Cole. I even remember Lucy Cole. She's number three on that list. Number four.
On what?
On that Who's Who of Soaps.
No, nobody remember Lucy Cole.
Oh, I love me some Lucy Cole. Anyway, long story short, Kendall, Alicia Minshew, amazing.
Amazing, amazing.
I cried. And the dialogue, beautiful. And then on Friday, we have to deal with the fact that it's Greenlee's birthday. I kind of wish that Ryan could be crying. Because he's not really showing much emotion other than anger. I'm angry.
I love that it's convenient that all of a sudden it's Greenlee's birthday.
Yes.
I wish we could go back and see if there were episodes where Leo celebrated her birthday. It was like in August, you know?
I agree.
Because it's like, how convenient that she died like 2 days before her birthday?
I agree.
Stupid.
All right. So then she's like talking to Ryan and he's all angry and stuff. And then he brings Jesse over to charge Zach.
Again, I love that. He calls the police. I wish that I could call the police chief in my precinct and have him come over to bust the mother that lives upstairs from me who's making all that noise. That's what I wish I could do. They call Jesse. Jesse comes a-running. Like, step and fetch it.
Comes a-running.
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Ryan. What can I do for you?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, but that's the way they're making him act. I don't like it at all. He's the police chief. Send a lowly officer to do with this.
And I think he's trying not to do that, but how can you help it when that's how he's written?
When that's how he's written. And I'm sorry, but I love me some Tarnowos, but I think he's trying to make it seem plausible, and the way it's coming across is overacted. That's the way, and I hate to say it because I love me some Darnell Williams, but everything is very over the top with him.
You won't get an argument from me because when I tell you that Jesse does explain very rationally that it makes no sense, that Zach was there to give all the police all the information they wanted, he was there to help, you know, with the rescue and recovery and all that stuff, and you know, Ryan just can't take it. He throws them both out. And Kendall, I didn't think she really acted that nervous. I thought she seemed upset. I don't think she was like Miss Obvious and was like acting all nervous like she had something to hide. I thought she was appropriately upset.
I don't think it was a nerve. There's not a nerve. I know because you're getting up because Jesse then grilled her.
Yes.
I don't think that what Jesse saw was nervousness. I think what Jesse saw was that there's something else that she's not telling.
But don't you think
that's a difference? There's a difference. I don't think she was but the way she was acting, you could tell that there was something else going on.
But don't you think that this is part of Mr. Darnell Williams' heavy-handedness with this character?
No, I think that's the writers writing it.
No.
That's the way the writers wrote it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's not him.
Because you know what the line was?
What?
You seem a little nervous, Kendall. Got anything to tell me about what happened last night?
See, they wrote that. She didn't play that, though, because she's a smart actress. She knows how to play it.
She's so good.
She's not. Why would she be nervous? She's feeling guilty.
She's so good.
There's a difference. Guilt is different than nervousness.
She's so good. And then Ryan sees Erica in that green dress. You're Miss Kane, Miss Erica Kane, Miss Susan Lucci rocked the house.
Let me tell you about Friday's episode. Before I could even get to the dress.
We're not worthy.
Wait, before I could even get to the dress. The hair.
Oh,
honey,
fucking.
Susan, you got to know. Don't let them do that hairspray with the curls and all that.
And the feather just.
I don't know if that was her real hair or if that was an extension.
But it was beautiful.
Honey, you looked like you were 25.
A Barbie doll.
Exactly. That's a great. I was literally like orgasming watching her on Friday's episode. She was so hot.
She wore a green wrap dress, right? With this blue like the tail coat maybe.
Yeah. But see, at the beginning of the episode, before we saw Ryan, we saw her with Reese. And when she came in with the baby and you know, with the baby to confront Reese, I like my breath went away. I was like, oh my God, she looked, it was like, I thought I was back in 1982. That's how young and hot she looked.
Incredible.
Susan, you got to let them do your hair like that because you look great.
And her skin didn't have that acne. Beautiful.
Anyway. What? You better leave my Susan Lucci and my Alicia Minshew alone.
No, I love Alicia Minshew. I got nothing bad to say about
that. But how, I'm so glad you thought of it because I was gagging when I saw Friday's episode. I was like, oh my God.
Dying.
She looked hot. She looked hot.
Dying.
That's the way I like my Erica Kane.
Well, let's finish that story up. So basically what happened is Ryan grits his teeth with Erica and says that he's going to basically
charge Zach with murder.
Zach destroys everything he touches. Stuff we've heard over and over again since 1991.
Whenever he joined the show. Okay.
Yes. So that's how that ended. So then let's go back. Let's backtrack to Reese and Booby. Boobianca, that is. In her toga.
Bodacious Bianca.
We had a little bit of disagreements on the blog, Mr. Jordan Hudson. Some of our viewers, Shadow, I think maybe it was Crystal, thought that Bianca looked like a heifer in that toga costume. Oh, he's looking at me. He wants to kill me.
Oh, I didn't read that. I didn't notice that. No, I thought Bianca looked nice.
You did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was mixed.
I mean,
I thought she was really nice, and then I got a side view. I was like, ooh.
I thought
that's a lot of woman.
I thought she looked very. No, see, you are such a contradictory terms.
What minute did you talk about them being too thin,
and now you're saying she's heavy and she needs to be anorexic?
No, I did not say that. You said that. What I'm saying was, I will clarify. The dress made her look like a lot of woman, even though she's got a perfectly beautiful figure.
Look, all I'm saying.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I think she's a beautiful girl.
All I'm saying.
I just hate her bank teller clothes. That's all.
All I'm saying is that she looked bountiful and bodacious. And I like that. I'm a Latin man. I think a woman looks good when she has to. I love me some Rita Hayworth.
Don't make me out to I be that want. Way. I agree.
I think a woman looks good when she has some meat
agree.
On her.
Don't make me out to
I didn't think she looked
them.
Bad. I didn't think it was unflattering.
I'm just saying,
I thought
from the side she looked a little bit like Tatiana from American Idol.
No. Don't even say that she looked like Tatiana. Tatiana. And I'm Puerto Rican and I can say this. She looked like a hippo in that dress. That was the most unflattering dress that she wore to do
she
her.
She ate her weight in beef no, before but she's Hollywood not, Week.
She put on a
she
lot of weight from here. Wait, from the auditions to here, she put on a lot of weight.
To the show.
But I think it did not help that she wore this. I don't even know how to describe that dress.
Can we talk about Idol for a second?
Wait, first, let me tell you something. I gotta say, I was really disappointed with the performances. I was expecting people to not.
Horrible!
They kept swearing that this was gonna be even better than last season. And I know they say that every season.
But there's a very simple explanation.
What?
Because 9 out of 12 were never gonna make it. 75% of the contestants on the stage for the next 3 weeks are not going to make it. They're not good enough.
I know, but then
so
why?
Of course, the shows are going to suck. And I think it was a stupid decision on Fox's part because these shows were terrible. The two shows, the past two days of American Idol, the first week of shows, terrible.
Well, all I gotta say is I don't know their names yet. I'm not familiar with all their names. But my girl who actually made it, who won on Wednesday, the little white girl with the little streak,
pink hair.
She freaked it out on Tuesday with her rendition of that song.
Oh, she did.
For a white girl to have that much soul.
Heartbreaker. You're a liar. You're a cheat.
Let me tell you something. I would buy that in a second if I heard that on the agenda. She is definitely somebody who I'm rooting for. And of course, what's his name? Danny Corky? Corky?
Gokey.
I live for him.
But listen, hear me out. Loved his performance. Loved his story about his wife that passed. But he got bitchy. He was bitchy because he was so desperate to know. It was him and Anoop, wasn't it? No,
Tatiana.
Tatiana. And you knew they were going to put those two.
But
let me finish. He was waiting to hear who was going to be the third. And then Ryan said, and we'll find out after the break. And he went, he got mad. And then when they came back from break, Ryan said, how are you feeling, Danny? And he says, I just want to know.
Yeah, I don't think he was being bitchy.
Bitchy.
I think you're getting, no, I disagree with you. I think you know what? He was expressing what all of America was expressing.
He was a little angry.
Because after 8 years, we're tired of it. It's played out. It's not funny anymore.
He was a little angry.
No, I'm serious. You're changing everything. You got a fourth judge. Change the way you do it. It's stupid now.
I saw a little flash of temper from that.
No, I disagree with you. I think he was just get your ass up on a stage in front of a million people and wait to hear what your future is.
Wrong. I'm just saying, a lot of the other contestants are so gracious.
No, I disagree with you.
I have to give respect to a lot of those people who got their asses handed to them by Simon and even the other judges. And they still were respectful
about
being on the show.
All those contestants,
grateful and gracious.
All those contestants that got their asses handed to them deserved it. Because they were horrible.
But they were gracious.
They were horrible. Horrible. That girl that sang the police song, the Sting song.
She was terrible.
And then the other girl, the girl that sang the Taylor Swift song.
Taylor Swift. Why? Taylor Swift can't even sing Taylor Swift.
That was awful. But you know what? I'm more upset. Now, see, the Tatiana thing, I thought that was genius on their part.
Of course.
Because you know what? Because they played it really good. Because even Paula said, this is America's decision now. You never know, things can happen. I actually thought Tatiana was going to go through. Because believe it or not, as much as I rag on her going, ah! She actually sang decent on Tuesday.
She's not great, though.
No. But then when you compare her to everybody else.
All I'm saying is that what I found hysterical. Was all these people. Okay, so the three people that won are in the three chairs. And the nine people that lost are in the, you know, the main section. And you see at the end of the show, all of them have
lost. She's a sore loser.
But she's crying her eyes out.
She's
crying, and everybody's comforting her. And I'm like, what if they all lost? What, like, they're comforting her, and they all
She's a drama
lost.
Queen. She's a sore loser. But I bet you anything she's coming back for the wild card.
Of course.
She'll be coming back for the wild card. But you know who I'm very...
because Anoop is very good.
Let me tell you something. I was very upset that Anoop... I'm sorry, that big guy... is a great guy and he's a decent enough singer.
It's a popularity
but
contest.
His performance was not better than Anoop. I agree with the judges that Anoop chose a song that was I know the song meant a lot to him.
He's adorable.
But
he
I didn't think that his performance was worse than the, you know what I mean? Like the blonde guy wasn't as strong.
Was great. The second guy.
Yeah, but you know what his problem is? You know what his problem is?
Fail.
Dead behind the eyes. Yeah. He's very like if I'm listening to him on the radio, I'll be like, oh yeah.
Fail means ugly.
Yeah, but when I see the video, I'm like, I don't think he's ugly. I think he's cute. I'd have sex with him. He's cute.
Yeah, but Jordan, please.
What?
You would have sex with a lot of people.
Excuse you. I'm very choosy.
You are not that choosy. You're very generous. I've seen some of your men.
You have not seen anybody that I've been interested in. How dare you?
I don't mean it that way. This
beauty is in the eye of the beholder, unless you're blind.
That's my point. My point is what I love about you is that you are open to all kinds of men. Fat, skinny, tall, short. You don't care because you see something special in the person.
Somehow there's a backhanded compliment and I know it. I'm waiting for it.
You see something very special in the person that most of us don't see from the outside.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
but
guess.
But that's what's beautiful about you.
Whatever. Shut up. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. Anyway, I was very sad because I felt that it should have been Anoop. What's his name? Koki?
Goki. Danny.
Goki. And my little striped head girl.
The blonde striped
girl. I was living for her.
She's got a great story too, people.
I got to say, her and Danny Koki, I could see them being the two finalists in the end of the race. But we got two more weeks. We got to see the
people.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, I'm not really after this first week. I'm not that impressed.
It was long. It was like
torturous. I just was not that impressed.
Oh yeah, yo.
I was not that impressed with the performances. I was like,
back to Risa and Booby. You know, we differed last week. Jordan and I differed. I liked the vows, but obviously they were bullshit. And Jordan, I don't think you loved the whole wedding thing, how it was interspersed and all that.
Yeah.
I liked it. All right, listen. The kiss was awkward. Did you not agree? Erica broke the awkwardness by clapping.
What I want to know is why everybody in the audience that was watching, all the people from Pine Valley, looked uncomfortable through the whole thing.
Didn't they look uncomfortable?
I was like, is this supposed to be a groundbreaking storyline? You're all supposed to be happy. Everybody was like this. Everybody was so like serious. Like I almost thought they were like haters. It was like, what are you doing there then?
It wasn't their best kiss.
It was very bizarre.
Booby. They've had hotter kisses.
Well, Ashley, honestly, it's a wedding. You're not supposed to like tongue them down and get somebody all horny and everything. In front of your family and everything.
You'd
kiss them and like grope them.
I wouldn't grope them, but I'd really kiss them like you know. Give them a show. Give them something to watch. That's what I'm saying. What?
I don't agree with that.
Come on. I was fine with their kiss, and I was mostly fine with their outfits, which we've covered. And I was actually fine with Jerkson mentioning Travis. I thought that was nice. There's been a couple of
that was nice
references this week. And I thought it was awesome when Erica goes over to talk to Jake and Tad.
Uh-huh.
And they ogle Erica. She walks away. Didn't Tad bark?
No, he went woof.
He went woof. He looked like a hungry wolf. He was just eyeing her, and I loved it.
You know why you loved it? Because that's real.
Absolutely.
That is real. And it's moments like that that we need more of, Chuck Prattholt.
Do you know why I love moments like that, too? Because these women on these soaps are so incredible for the most part and so incredibly beautiful. And you never hear a man really comment on the fact that he is surrounded by impeccable-looking women. That's not normal. In real life, you're not surrounded by impeccable, beautiful, perfect people. And so it made sense to me. Like, you know what I love to? I need to break in. One life to live.
No, too please, soon.
Please. When Fish got jumped by Stacy, she
no, but you gotta say that about One Life to Live. Like,
it was so perfect. She's like the most beautiful, perfect thing. She's Gigi's sister, and she's about to take him into Gigi's, you know, place to have sex with him, and he turns to the camera. And he goes, "Yes," and he goes, "Yes." Would you ever see a man or all my children do that? No, because they're too cool for school. They're used to having sex with all these beautiful women. This guy was like, "Yes," and then all of a sudden, you see the camera cut, and he gets thrown to the ground, and she is straddled on top of him, and he's like, "Whoa, oh my god, oh my god!" And then they cut, and I was like, "Oh, that's hot."
It was hot, and I think Fish is hot. I'm sorry, somebody in the block thought he was a dork. I think he's a cutie.
Dorky.
He's a cutie.
Dorky.
He is definitely dating material.
That's what I'm saying.
He's hot.
He's very generous.
He has a beautiful face.
You fall in love with the personality. You're
a jerk. And I gotta say, I'm loving me some Stacy on One Night to Live. We haven't had a little slutty bad girl like this since Tina Clayton hit town.
She should have been Tina's daughter, right?
She would have, but you know what? But then they would have to change the whole Sarah. Sarah's never been a vixen like her mother. See, this character, they don't do these kind of characters on soaps anymore. This is like a young Erica, young...
But I also like it when it skips a generation. Like, I like the fact that Bianca is not Erica.
Well, that's because Kendall's Erica.
No, that's true.
But wait, I got to tell you, though. What were we talking about before that? How did you get segue into this?
Jake ogling Erica.
Because it gave me an idea when I was watching that.
What?
I think Jake and Erica would be hot together.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
That is not ridiculous.
No, it's
they're
ridiculous.
The same age as...
No.
Listen to me.
No.
Can I say what I have to say?
Yes.
They're the same age as Dorian and David Vickers. Ricky Paul Golden is around the same age as Tuck Watkins, and Susan Lucci is around the same age as Robin Strasser.
Susan Lucci does not have the sense of play that Robin Strasser has.
I don't know. All I know is that... I know what you're saying.
Seriously, she wouldn't be able to play with it, have fun with it. Dorian Lord is amazing. Robin Strasser is amazing and so much fun with this character.
But maybe that's what Erica needs. She needs a character like Jake who's going to like...
No, I disagree.
You know, she did...
We talked about this.
Erica had an affair with Jake's cousin.
Good. That's hot.
Wait.
But what I'm saying...
Wait. Is that no Jake's nephew, Charlie Brandt?
She had an affair with Charlie Brandt?
No, not the ugly one, the hot one from the Colbys.
Oh, all right, I was gonna say.
Yeah, no, you think about Peter Lawford's son, that Lawford guy who played when Haley was involved with him? No, not him.
No, I'm thinking of the first Charlie Brandt.
No. There was the two teen
the
Charlie Brandt.
The guy that was
Lauren Holly. No, that Charlie Brandt. Between that one and the one that Haley was involved with, there was an actor from the Colbys who was like a male model, gorgeous. They brought him on.
He was with Lauren Holly this after a while.
No, this was after the Lauren Holly days.
Oh, I don't remember.
I know is that Erica looked hot, and she was messing around with somebody who was literally young enough to be her son, and
can
it was
I please
hot.
Disagree with you though? We have talked about this. Erica needs like I was never happier. I'll be honest with you than when she was with Safari Jeff.
Yes, I never thought he should have broke them up.
You know why? Because he was like, to me, he was almost like a little bit, not so much like a Mike Roy. Like, Mike Roy always kind of knew how to handle Erica. But I felt like...
I thought he was ugly. I never liked Mike Roy.
I love Mike Roy. But regardless, just the dynamic, like the idea that Safari Jeff kind of knew how to handle Erica, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that it was a mature relationship, and it wasn't like... She was trying to be like a teenager in this relationship. I want her to have a nice, mature relationship. Kind of like Vicky does on One Life to Live. Even though she's not sexy no more.
Vicky was never sexy.
I know.
I would never use sexy and Erica Slezak in the same sentence.
That's mean.
mean, how could you be so cruel?
I'm not being cruel. It's the truth. She's a prude. And remember, my favorite one I tell the storyline was when Claire Levine was writing the show, and she actually had a storyline that I'm sure Erica Slezak hated, where they were dealing with the fact that Vicky was a little bit prudish. And she had she has some sexual hang-ups.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's real.
Claire Levine was fired, though.
Oh, my God.
But let me tell you, Claire Levine wrote a great show for One Night to Live. I loved the Claire Levine years on One Night to Live. Anyway.
Anyway, so then it was kind of sweet when Reese and Bubianca had their dance.
No, that was awkward.
Yeah, all right, fine. I was just going to get to that.
It was awkward, and the song was hideous.
Awkward, and then poor Miranda.
What
like,
song was that?
I don't know.
What we just played Just You and I last week. That's how good the music was on All My Children back in the day.
They can't afford that.
And now they got some second rate. I don't even know if it's an R&B art. I was like, that. I hated that song.
They can't afford that.
I don't care. I don't believe for 1 minute that this is the song that Bianca and like, because the wedding song is supposed to be a song that means something to the couple.
Well, even more awkward.
What?
Erica and Jerkson dancing. Oof.
Yeah, but they only danced for like a second.
Oh, and it was awful.
I'm saying Bianca and her. They like danced for a second before.
There was
before
no romance.
Before she was like, everybody else join in, because we feel stupid. I didn't like it.
I agree. Zach busts into the party and announces that Greenlee went off the cliff. And what?
That was horrible.
It was pretty bad because all the oohs and ahs.
First of all, it was horrible.
Oh
because,
my god!
Because didn't somebody say something? I think wasn't it Erica said what happened? And Kendall's like nothing. And then Zach's like,
she was in shock.
No, it was.
She was in shock.
It was a really badly written scene and badly acted. Zach was awful, and the only thing that was more awful was the fact of Jerkson's reaction to it.
Well, I love Kendall's reaction to it. When she was trying to explain what happened, because at this point she knew that Reese and Zach had kissed, and she starts jerking, doing the herky jerky, and then she faints.
No, that was when she was talking to Erica. Oh, yeah, that was a good scene. That scene I like because, you know, she was telling Erica, and then she was shooting darts over at Reese. I was living for it.
Well, then we time warped into Pine Valley Hospital the next day.
Yeah, again, that's an issue that I have. Tuesday's episode should have picked up right from where we left off Monday. The fact that this show is on a speed warp drive annoys the hell out of me. Because you're missing moments and scenes.
I was at least glad that Dr. Evil David blamed Zach for Greenlee's accident. And he mentioned Leo to Bobby Eakes, to Crystal.
Yeah, he should have.
Yeah. But why the hell was Reese at PVH while Bubianca was still in Connecticut? You know, like, none of this made sense to me.
Because she's a sniffing Zach's butt. That's why.
No, but that's offensive.
Yeah, it was stupid. She should have been with Bianca.
Bianca should be there with her sister, if anything.
Yeah, it made no sense.
Anyway, I was really glad.
You know why that was?
Why?
Because it was in the script.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. I really liked when Ryan told Binks the whole truth about that slut Reese. I kind of liked his reveals. I thought they were pretty high stakes.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of what I liked this week. Now then, she leaves and she turns back, Bianca that is, turns back to Pine Valley. Meanwhile, Kendall's practically having a heart attack talking to that a-hole Zach.
Yeah, again, this is my problem with Zach. You are an insensitive ass, basically, yeah. Because your wife just found out that you, like, made out with this woman. She just found out that you, like, shot her brother to give her a heart. She just had a heart transplant, you idiot. Stop being so damn selfish and deal with this when she's out of the hospital. She's feeling better. David told you. Jake told you.
Agreed.
Get the hell away from the hospital.
Agreed.
Oh, my God. This is what makes me hate Zach.
But listen, this is the Joanna, Carson, I think that's her name, episode. Because then we have, and this I think is Wednesday's episode, we have Bianca finally showing up at the hospital and her and Kendall have it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought both of them were amazing. And
you're right.
I really liked the writing. And this is what you talk about all the time, Jordan. You talk about moments. There were moments in this monologue. I was just lost and riveted
by
both of them. And then, even to add more to that, it got even better. Because when Bianca confronted Reese's response, I thought, was at least a little bit interesting. Like, the dialogue felt real to me. The fight felt real. The conflict felt real. And they both, actresses, played it to the hilt. And Reese kind of put it out there. And it almost made me think about it, too. Like, sexuality, as you said, I believe, last week, is very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not justifying the storyline, Jordan. Don't get me wrong, by any stretch, because I hate the fact that she cheated on Bianca with a man. But she put that out there that maybe, like, people aren't attracted to just someone's sex. Like, maybe it's not a man-woman thing, but maybe it's, like, a soul thing. Which Bianca kind of jumped all over, and she was like, you know, soul. You know, you fell in love with Zach's soul. So I get that. But Boo Bianca had this great line. She says, I get it. Human beings are complex, but fidelity is not. It means you don't cheat. And I loved it. And I love Miss Eden Regal. She's so brilliant and talented. I'm glad she's leaving the show. I want to see her do really good work. It seems hard for her, though. It seems hard for her to get work somehow. Because when she left All My Children, the only thing she really did was Imaginary Bitches.
Yeah, but everybody's tooting it, though. So she should ride with it.
I agree.
She should ride with it. Look, Chelsea Handler's webisode got picked up by ABC. And ABC's doing a sitcom on it now.
I agree.
So she needs to hang in there with her bitches and hope that somebody picks it up.
Joanna Cohen, excuse me, people, I wrote it down. Her name is Joanna Cohen. You should write her a letter. You should write ABC a letter and tell ABC to make Joanna Cohen the head writer.
Now, look, I'm going to say this about...
She writes real dialogue.
I also thought it was very realistic. The fight was very realistic, and it was beautiful. It was beautifully acted, beautifully written, even though at one point the argument did get a little... I felt like they were going off tangent, but sometimes when you're arguing with somebody, that's what happens. Your emotions. So it felt very real to me, and I thought the two of them played the hell out of it. And that's when it dawned on me, and I told Ashley this on the phone, I think Thursday, when we were talking about, because we talk on the phone during the week sometimes, even though we try to save it for the live show because it's much more interesting when we're like on the cuff. But I told her, you know what my problem with this is, that it's, again, rush. You rush a storyline that should have played out over like a year and a half or something. Think how invested we would have been if like this secret would have been kept for like months. You know what I mean? Because I mean, in the old days, that's the way soap operas were. Remember when Jenny wrote that letter to Greg and he didn't get that letter until months later because Liza and Amanda were keeping that letter from him? And then when he finally got that letter, he did what he needed to do, go get his woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, but what? And he goes, I just got the letter. And I mean, this is the problem with soaps now. They think we all have attention deficit disorder and everything's done a nice way. I mean, the thing that irks me about this is that, my God, they were married on Friday and divorced on Monday. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so fast paced. But the honesty of the situation is powerful, because then we get into the whole custody battle, mm-hmm. which is a really hot topic, because believe it or not, this is something. Gays are fighting for marriage. But guess what comes with marriage? Divorce and child custody battles now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's an interesting hot topic. So don't get me wrong. I'm not upset about the aftermath. I just wish that they would have respected us, the actress, and the art of the writing, to let this play out with a little bit more time. And I know they only have them for 4 months,
exactly.
But it's just like, you know, because think about it this way. Wouldn't it have been even hotter if, like, we found out that Reese was just, like, a little bit of a lesbian Tad the Cat? And maybe, you know, we found out that she was fooling around with some other women on Bianca. That would have been hot.
I know, but I don't think ABC is ready for that.
Yeah, ABC sucks. Anyways, they're not ready to make all my children the L word.
Suck it. And so we had those scenes between Erica and Zach, right?
No, but yeah. And then, what about, we got to talk about the scenes between Erica, Kendall, and Erica, Bianca, and Reese.
Yes.
Because that was hot.
Yes, because then Bianca and Reese go back and they're fighting, right?
They're fighting. They're still fighting in the apartment. Erica shows up.
Oh, my God. And I
love it when Miss Kane is playing Protective Mama Bear. Let me tell you
some of the dialogue that was stunning. I was hoping that finally, my daughter found the love that she deserves. But you made her life miserable with your lies, with your throwing yourself at Zach. Bianca put her faith in a two-timing, backstabbing, home-wrecking slut. Yeah. I loved it.
Loved it.
Kendall called her a slut, too.
Yes, and with good reason.
I love it. She leaves. Bianca leaves with Gabby. She tells... She told Reese to put on something sexy so Reese could consummate their marriage with Zach.
Yes. The whole aftermath was good because it was smoking.
And then Kendall comes home and sees that skinny bitch's ass at her couch.
I know. Everything's good about Reese. Reese got some balls. For a woman,
no,
she
kidding.
Has some balls. I'm sorry.
She's got the biggest balls on the show.
You have the audacity to stay in the house?
Kendall throws that skinny bitch's ass out.
Tell her and say how Kendall... Because Reese goes like this. I don't know where to go.
Where am I going to go? Kendall goes, opens the doors, goes, Viva La France. Loved it.
That's good soap, people.
Loved it.
That was good soap.
And then Zach goes to the casino to get his ass drunk because he messed up big time. And Ryan comes. And then Ryan and he have a fight. And we disagreed a little on this. I liked that fight. I liked Ryan, his you know, egotistical ass throwing stones. And then Zach threw him right back at him.
No, I didn't mind the fight. I like the fight because they weren't yelling. I think that's one of the things that annoys me about men on daytime TV is that they assume that acting and means that you got to be yelling at like a million decimals. It's like, that's not, that doesn't.
But Thorsten doesn't do that.
No, that's what I'm saying. So Cameron does at times, and God knows Darnell's been doing it lately, and he wasn't always like that too. But I mean, it was nice that they were just, you know what I mean, trying to play some colors, as they like to say in the artistic world.
Well, I loved it. I love that. I kind of love that Zach called Ryan on his stuff. Ryan has done a lot of damage himself to women.
Yeah, Ryan has. But you know what? Right now, it's Zach who's doing the damage. So Zach needs to be called in it.
But you know what the best move of the week was?
What?
When Bianca brought that super hot attorney the custody battle.
Now, let me ask you. Did you not think that was a sister?
I loved it.
I thought she went to get a lesbian lawyer. I mean, I don't know if the character was a lesbian, but...
most gorgeous lawyer. She was young, long, blonde, curly hair,
I felt like there was an L-word thing going on. I felt like she went to a lesbian lawyer. I don't know why, but I just felt that. I loved
it. Wasn't it great?
Like, if I was Reese, I'd be like, oh, you found somebody to replace me already, I see. Because that's what I was thinking. I would have
been threatened.
Who's that? Yeah, that lawyer was hot.
That lawyer was hot. Anyway.
That's somebody who we should be seeing more of.
Well, Reese, you know, Bianca presents Reese with annulment papers. Reese won't sign them because of the custody crap.
Now, see, this is what this is why I think the storyline is really great, because I find this to be very timely, but they need to do their research.
Yeah.
Because somebody in the blog said that. Wouldn't Reese, to have some kind of custody of the children, wouldn't Reese have had to adopt them legally? Because as much as we're acknowledging that yes, they're a couple, they got married.
No, they had an agreement in place, Bobby. Positive that she mentioned that.
Because biologically...
That was her point. That was Reese's point.
Biologically, both those girls are Bianca's.
Reese's point was that they have the paperwork.
Okay.
They have the paperwork. And the lawyer agreed. She says she's right.
Already. Yeah, I find this aspect of the storyline very interesting.
Because they weren't married when they had the children, so they would have had to work out a custody arrangement.
I find this to be very interesting, timely, and exciting.
Yes. We got to wrap this up because we are running out of time. But listen, long story short, gorgeous Erica in that green dress and that beautiful ponytail comes in with the baby, and she won't let Reese anywhere near her. She finally lets Reese near her. And I was surprised because Erica seemed all hurt having to break up Reese and Gabby.
No.
She's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I actually thought that was beautiful writing.
Okay.
Why?
Explain.
Because what did Reese tell Erica?
She told her about how the fact that when she was little, her mom and dad and stuff.
Yeah. That's Erica. She was telling Erica basically that she knows what it's like to be a child who the parents just neglect. She doesn't want Gabrielle to feel that way.
Okay, fine.
Erica, that's Erica's weakness. Erica was rejected by her father. I thought that was very subtle, very beautiful, and it made sense that Erica would allow Reese to touch Gabrielle.
Right, I just didn't understand at first, because at first she was very adamant about not letting Reese touch her,
They played the scene out. Susan Lucci did a great job, because you could tell that she was listening to what Reese said, and I picked it, because I don't think Reese doesn't realize what Erica's thing is. Right. She was talking from her own point of view, what she experienced. It was beautiful.
Well, listen, then Zach and Bianca, Bianca goes to see Zach. She basically tells him that she's skedaddling and taking Gabrielle and Miranda with her to Paris. And she's going back and forth with Zach, and she again knocks it out of the park. I mean, every moment is filled with like emotion and feeling. She's amazing. And Zach looks at her, and I was surprised because he wasn't saying much as per usual. And then he says, I used to see only the good parts of Erica in you, never the selfishness, the insecurity. Now you've turned into your mother, and it makes me sick.
You got some balls, mister. I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
Jordan is pissed.
You have the nerve to try to... You're no better than Chris Brown trying to put the blame on the woman for what you're doing.
Well, Binks told him to go to hell.
So yeah. Could you believe he said that? I wanted to throw something at the TV at him.
My only thing is I have to go back to it. Bianca is no innocent. She took her brother's sperm, okay, without telling her sister. That was wrong. She was complicit in some way.
Does that make what Zach did right?
No.
Okay, that's what, that's. I rest my case. This isn't about what Bianca did with the sperm. This is about what Zach did with Reese the night before she was supposed to get married to Bianca.
But Bianca made a big, huge mistake and doesn't seem to realize. I mean, she's sort of finally realizing now that she's made a mistake. She said as much to Zach. I wish I had never chosen you to be Gabby's, you know, father. I should have gotten a sperm donor, blah, blah, blah. But I still think that Bianca has participated a bit in her own downfall. That's what, well, I'm saying.
All I will say is this. As so eloquently put on One Life to Live from Dorian Lord, karma's a bitch. That was my favorite line. I would like to live this week. Ooh, we gotta save that for later. We're doing that. That's
hot. Okay. And basically, ends. I mean, basically, Reese and Bianca have it out again. Bianca tells her she never loved her and blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Oh, those were some powerful scenes.
She told
though.
Her, she told Reese that she was a disgrace to her family.
Oh, blah, but wait, you're brushing up. That was some power. When Bianca was telling her how she was never in love with her because she was in love with the image that she got, that was some beautiful writing, beautiful acting. I believed it. It was great.
All right, fine.
You didn't like it?
No, I liked it.
I loved it. And then, of course, are we getting to the Zach Kendall?
Yes.
Oh, because I...
Bring us home. We got to wrap Zach, it up. We're running out of time.
Zach has proven himself to be the biggest ass on daytime TV this week. He was basically trying to defend himself with Kendall
in the casino
and putting the blame
on
Reese on Friday's episode, saying like he doesn't care anything about this woman. He wished that she would just vanish and go away.
No, he said this. As far as Reese, I wish she wasn't here. I wish she and everybody else would just go away.
Yeah, you know what, Zach? You're the one who kissed her, you dumbass. This is your fault. All of this is your fault. Reese didn't kiss you. You kissed her. You grabbed her. She was drunk. You were not. This is your fault. Reese was upset because of the way she was being treated by everybody. This is your fault. And for you to try to make this woman feel horrible, you're no better than Chris Brown. Well, that's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, then Reese had the nerve to ask Zach to stop Booby from her evil plan take away the
Reese,
kids.
Yeah, you're an idiot because you know what?
But Kendall refused to help Bianca with the custody battle. I loved it. Perfect.
Why should she?
But that's perfect, Kendall. That's exactly who Kendall is.
She's been wrong.
You got yourself into this mess, Bianca. Exactly. You get yourself out.
Yeah, exactly. And she's right. I would tell her the same thing.
Oh, she's the best. All right, listen. You got a question? You got time for one question. You better make it good. I think you should make it from our new reader.
Who's that?
Someone we haven't heard from before. Cool Roz.
Cool Roz. With the recent death of Greenlee, I was wondering, who do you guys think had the best funeral in Pine Valley? And do you think Greenlee will get a proper send-off? Since we had to endure the flashbacks of her and Ryaz. I don't think Greenlee's going to get a proper funeral because they don't do that anymore. Nobody gets that.
Jesse had a great funeral.
In the past, I would say Jesse's funeral was great. Mm-hmm. Jenny's.
Did Leo have a funeral? Not really. Right?
No. Cindy's.
What, I remember Cindy's.
Cindy's was powerful. I think those three. And then all the old timers. Whenever the old timers left. I remember when Chuck Tyler died. Oh my God.
Yeah, but
they
Phoebe didn't get a good send off.
No, but that was because that's from the new writers. I'm talking about in the old days when the people when Chuck Tyler died. Whenever in the 70s and 80s, those were the best funerals. Whenever anybody died in the 70s and 80s, even when we thought they were just dead, as many times as we thought
they
Adam
got a
died,
funeral.
They got a funeral and they got a retrospective.
Yeah.
They soaps don't do that anymore. They don't. They don't show, I remember in the old days when somebody used to pass away and they would show a montage of clips. The whole episode would be flashbacks and people would remember. They don't do that no more.
No, you're right. They don't. Do you want to talk about Insani? We got 4 minutes to talk about Insani.
You speed it through. I hate that storyline. Right, but I love me and Melissa Claire Egan.
Melissa Claire Egan did a great job.
No, Melissa Claire Egan is the only thing I like about the storyline.
She did a great job. She came to her senses. She kind of automatically became sane again, though. How does that happen?
Bad writing.
Thank you, right? Well, she, Adam convinced her to do the right thing, so she didn't kill, Greenlee or Ryan. And she says she's going to go back with him, but she wants to see Emma first. Very touching, very beautiful, very well acted. Mm-hmm. She, of course, Doc Singh Crane, or whatever the hell her name is waiting for her. And she accuses Insani of killing Greenlee, and, where do I go from here? I mean, really, the bottom line is basically Dr. Sin Crane will not leave town without one more tire iron appearance. That's how Iron acted the hell. That's how Iron won in the act off between Insani and Sin Crane. It definitely won. No doubt. She pretends she's going to beat Annie to death with it and doesn't. Annie turns around, too. I want to turn around on that note, that crazy ass doctor. Then that crazy ass doctor pulls a hypodermic needle on her. And then Annie wrestles her way away. And then Annie hits her head and blacks out for a second. And then she wrestles Sheridan Crane to the ground. And the dumbass doctor injects herself with it. But only after, isn't this only after she realized, Adam has told her that he knows all about her, right? Some shit like that. Stupid. Anyway, long story short, she confesses the whole thing. It wraps up neatly with like a little tiny bow.
Jesse gets the confession out of her. Because David's going to David says she's going to live, but Jesse makes her believe that she's going to die. So she gives like a deathbed confession and she confesses everything. And you know what I say? Lazy writing. They obviously realized that the storyline was not pleasing us, that it was going nowhere, so they ended it quickly. There was a big build-up to absolutely nothing because it was very trite and very predictable. It was just, there was no point to it.
The only good part about the whole thing was when Tad asked Jesse, how'd you get her to confess in like 5 minutes? Jesse goes, it's called the Nunya. It's none of your business.
See, those are the moments I want to see more of. I actually like that better than the whole story.
Well, also, too, just to wrap that up, is that Annie and Adam are getting groomed to end up together.
And I don't like that at all. I don't understand how he still has a job. I don't know who the hell he's sleeping with at ABC that he has a job, but he needs to go. And I don't think the Melissa Claire Egan has suffered enough, I think.
I agree.
Give her a real storyline with
She's
making
that man look like Olivier, though. I'll tell you right now. God. I would much rather talk about One Life to Live than about Jer and Amanda and David and Crystal and all them.
It's a bad storyline, David. I feel for you, Vincent Rizzeri and Bobby East, like nobody's
Both
business.
You. I
because
do too.
You guys... You deserve better. You're two good actors and you deserve better than this. But then you know what? Most of the cast deserves better. Jake deserves better. Tad deserves better. Taylor and Brock weren't even on this week.
Oh my God.
Why did you hire Beth Ehlers?
Who called her that army woman? Wasn't it Ryan? Ryan mentioned her. Zach pushed down that army woman down the stairs. I was like, yeah, you don't know her name because we never see her.
Oh, you know, we forgot I mentioned it. I don't know if you, this there was a line that creeped me out.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. Go say it.
When Bianca was upset and Erica was covering her and she said, I feel like I'm being raped. That had to be I hate to say it, but it had to be a man who wrote that line.
She was talking about being, you know, being betrayed by Reese. She felt like she was being raped all over
again.
Now,
you tell me, was it just, am I wrong to feel uncomfortable?
I would be surprised if Eden Regal didn't fight the writers on that one.
And if she didn't, she's stupid. Because you know what?
No, I think
she did. For those of us who saw the rape, that was a vicious, violent rape.
That was horrible.
That was a horribly violent rape.
One of McTrash's finest moments.
Yeah.
But...
I mean... Well, I have mixed feelings about it. I mean...
No, I thought it was a great scene. The whole episode was the rape. I thought it was fantastic.
The concept of the rape and the way they played out was great. But what I'm saying is... It was horrendous the way that Bianca was raped. And I mean, that's what they were going for. So I'm fine with that. But what I'm saying is... For her to have a line where she says... And she compares... adultery to rape. I was like, how can you compare that, those two situations? I really did not like that at all.
Well, nothing really happened. I mean, I like JR and Amanda at the wedding.
Yeah.
I thought they were very sweet together. He's kind of looking out for her. She still looks way too damn good for someone who's pregnant in her first trimester. Hell no. Hell no. You don't look that good. You don't feel that good. You look like crapple.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't dancing at no wedding.
You're speaking the gospel.
That's right. So anyway, all I know is that I fast-forwarded to Friday, personally, because they're all back in confusion. It's Tad and Jake. They see Crystal, and Jake confronts her, and Tad confronts her. And it's just a whole lot of back and forth. And I'm so sick. I honestly hate Crystal's character now. I hate her.
I know. Poor Bobby Eakes.
I feel bad for Bobby Eakes. But the way she has rejected Tad and is so mean to Tad, she has no right to be. Tad did nothing
wrong
to her.
It makes no sense.
She's not even in the pills anymore. Wrong to her. She did everything wrong. She betrayed him. She should have her tail between her legs. Even if she doesn't want to be with him, she should have her tail between her legs and say, yes, Tad, yes, Tad, yes, Tad. To every insult he hurls at her, she should be eating it and taking it because she did wrong. Instead, she's like, you're this and you're that and you did this and nah, 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 and you just can't get over the fact that I'm with David and blah, blah, blah. It's so annoying and offensive to me. Anyway, and then this whole stupid thing where David schemes to have Crystal help out with the Campbell's heart smart ball.
And gets Joe put on bed rest.
Yeah, so stupid. And then the only thing I found interesting was when Crystal answered David's phone like any normal girlfriend would do. And David said, don't you ever answer my phone.
They showed him twice talking to someone in the phone saying, did you find out the image? So I guess this is a mystery storyline that's building up. Have you heard anything? I don't know anything.
Yeah, what was that earlier in the week where someone called him and he said, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Thanks.
Don't know what that's
about. It's like back to like Adam territory when Adam used to get those random phone calls about his schemes.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going with this, but at least something's happening, I guess.
A lot is happening on One Life to Live.
Oh, Lord, I
can't even. You tell them, Jordan. You tell them. First
of all, both of us are behind. We did not see Thursday and Friday's One Life to Live yet.
No, I saw Thursday. Right,
but I haven't seen Thursday and Friday, so we can only talk about Monday through Wednesday. All I got to say is the aftermath of that red ball was amazing. And that episode, the day after, where everybody woke up in the most strangest beds with the most strangest people. And the way they flashbacked the whole episode so we could find out what happened to people.
Blair woke up in Todd's bed. He's grinning like a fool.
And he's trying to make her think that they actually did the deed.
They did not.
He actually was concerned because he didn't want her going home because she was hammered.
So he put her in his bed? Come on now.
That's Todd, though. That's a very wicked sense of humor, our Todd. And of course, Taya comes by that
day and finds
an earring of Blair's, and she went off the deep end because as much as she says she doesn't, we know you love him still.
Here's what I love. I'm going to tell you right now. I love when Taya came in. She came to see Todd to give him a bill.
I know.
A bill for her legal services rendered. And she pulls a cucumber and she says, write it out. And she goes, you'll notice I gave myself an extra little fee for taking the hit for you.
No, I love though what she said when she goes, And we're done. And he's like, we're done. And she goes, well, until you do another crime.
Until you commit another crime. But, I mean, it was fantastic. And he looks at the bill. He says, you gave yourself an awful large bonus for, you know, taking the rap for killing, what's her face?
Lee Halpern.
She goes, Todd, I earned every penny. Fill out the check. Here's your checkbook. I just loved it.
Taya's always been about the money. That's how they got together.
No, she was making a point. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But she loves Todd, though. That's the thing that you got to see. And
she was crying over him.
Florencia Lozano is such a beautiful actress. Her work is so amazing. I'm amazed by her. We bow to her like we bow to Alicia Minshew. Yes, she is awesome. And they need to keep her on. And then, of course, we talked about the Stacey thing. I felt so bad for my Leia when he, like, dumped Leia. He dumped Layla because he thinks he met the love of his life because he does not realize that this girl's a tramp. And meanwhile, while the same breath, he's like, I think I met the love of my life. Rex and Gigi are asking her. She's like, no, I don't have nobody in my life.
I don't even know him. No.
But that's reversed because usually it's the other way around. Usually it's the girl who has the one inside and she thinks she found the guy and, like, to him, it was just a piece of ass. And so it's nice that the roles have been reversed.
Oh, it was great.
And I thought that was great. I love that whole bit.
What's going to happen to Layla? She doesn't have much of a storyline.
I know. That's my only thing. Ron C., I love you to death, but you need to give my Layla a storyline, a real storyline. You need to get her a real man because I love me some Layla. Let me tell you.
Well, we got some Marty, too. We got some Marty waking up with Wes.
Marty waking up with Wes with a knife in him. Ooh, that was hot. But what was even hotter was Blair busting Marty and John trying to cover it up. And Blair was not. She didn't give a damn. She was like,
She basically walks in. And she hears Marty and McBain say something like, you know, let's not tell anybody about this. Let's figure this out. And she goes, oh, yeah? And that's when she dials 911. Hello, police. I'm calling to report a murder. She's great. And then they're all at the police station. And this is where I thought, I mean, Susan Haskell is amazing. And I really like, I don't understand. I'm trying to rack my brain to figure out all the criticism about the actor that plays Cole. Because I think he's lovely.
Oh, I don't know why they're not feeling Cole. I love him. I think he's very good actor.
I think he's so talented.
For a young guy that age. And for the stuff that they've given him, I think he's risen to the occasion.
The way he protects his mother without fail, even though she constantly rejects that boy.
I know.
It's heartbreaking.
Love it.
It's heartbreaking.
I love him, and he's hot as hell.
And the other thing and the other wild card is Jess and
Brody.
Brody.
Oh, those scenes this week were...
Brody disappeared the night of the murder, conveniently.
Yeah. And we know he didn't do it.
We know he didn't do it, but he thinks he might have blacked out. And so Jess is telling him that he didn't. And these two are the smoking is hottest couple on daytime right now.
When they get together,
talk to each other, and I'm like, fanning my tonton.
Can you imagine when they finally...
hear my joke?
Yes, I did. But this is why Ron C is a great writer, because part of writing a daytime soap opera is just like a good Jane Austen novel, is that you got to play things out. It's not about seeing the result. It's about the journey getting
moment
there.
Moment to moment.
So that when it finally happens, you are on the edge of your screen screaming, yes, yes, yes. I cannot wait for those two to get together.
Incredible.
And then, of course, the big, big storyline was, of course, those Buchanans getting together to celebrate their last night in their house, because they knew their ass was going to be out, and they all got drunk.
Hear me out, though. I got a question for you.
What?
I live here in New York City, and ABC interrupted one night delivery at dumb A-Roid story.
You don't know how annoyed I am with ABC. ABC, but I said this before, the president passes gas, and ABC will turn off the soaps and put on the news for the most stupidest things. This is not a sports network. You want to go to isn't there like a Yankee station?
Well, I miss how Dorian convinced David Vicaroshi to become David Buchanan. I missed the whole thing.
She didn't convert him. What happened was she, in a very, again, Ron C., brilliant writing, she, because we remember, I was telling you how she really realized that even though she started out for the money, she loves David.
Yeah.
And basically, that's what converted him.
But he reminded her that she abandoned him when she had a chance at the money.
But her final thing to him was, you know what? You're right. Blah, 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 blah. I wish that I was joining you on this journey, but it's your decision. And she kissed him and walked out and left him. Now, whether she did that trying to manipulate him, only Dorian knows.
Yes, she did.
But that's what made him realize. And let me tell you something.
Realize what?
That he loves this woman and they need to get together and get that money.
Two birds of a feather.
That scene where he would, because the day after.
They went shopping.
They had sex that night. And then they woke up the next day. He was hungover a little bit. And then she was looking at him and she's like, so... You know, I forgot what she said. She said something like, what is going to do? What are you going to do? All this, you know, he goes, yeah, he goes, it's great, you know, finding this peace and everything. And I'm, you know, but hell, I want the money. And he grabbed her and they started having sex again. I was living.
Well, I saw him putting on his orange robe again, like all flustered.
Yes, but the best was when they showed up at the Buchanan Mansion.
But here's the thing. I'm going to make a quick point.
Uh-huh.
Moment to moment. They don't just show up at the mansion. They go shopping first.
They went shopping first.
For their clothes and their outfits.
Oh.
And he puts on this hat that's horrible. And Dorian goes, darling, try the one in the box. And he puts on this total urban cowboy, black cowboy hat, Buchanan style, a la Buchanan. And he just smiles. And he said something, and I forgot what he said. It was so funny.
All I know is that if I didn't know better, I would think that the costume designer went downstairs in the One Night to Live basement and got one of Phil Carey's actual hats, because that looks such like a Buchanan. Because, you know, when they first introduced the Buchanans, they wore those cowboy hats every day on the show.
Like uber hip.
So it was such a great thing to have him and Dorian show up. Moment to moment. And when they showed up at the house,
dressed to the nines.
Those scenes were so well written and so funny. And you know what was so, and this is again why I love One Night to Live, because all the characters are real. They're not good. They're not bad. They're human.
Yep.
And the fact is that David called them all on their bullshit.
Yep.
Because they weren't goodies in this. They tried to keep David from the money. They tried to treat him. And when David was calling everybody on their bullshit, he even called Nora. And then he called Renee. He said, I think about all those times that I came and I asked for a room at the hotel and you wouldn't give it to me. And it's like, well, you know what? Like Dorian said, karma is a bitch. And they're only getting what they deserve for the way they treated him all these years. So I thought it was beautiful scenes, beautifully acted, and I cannot wait to go home and watch Thursday and Friday's episode.
I thought it was awfully cold-blooded, though, how they just kicked them out.
No. They deserved it. I love when the Buchanans get their come up. Because you know what? The thing that's so beautiful is that Clint's becoming kind of evil. He's becoming his father.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. And Nora, as much as Nora was so noble, she's getting seduced by all this. Because the old Nora wouldn't have done that.
All right.
Nora from the old day. But you know what? People change. People get used to certain things. And like, And little Matthew, how funny was little Matthew?
He's funny.
When they came down, he was like, my last house burned down, and now you're telling me that I'm going to get kicked out of this one?
I only got one gripe.
What?
They got to give that little star some bangs.
Bangs are in right now.
She's not looking good with that forehead and the pencil-thin eyebrows.
You are so nasty.
What? I think she's so adorable. She's just not looking good, Poppy. I'm sorry.
You know, and I'm thinking about this question from Cool Roz, and I got to say something, because this is a thing
that's irking me. This is the question about the funeral.
About the funeral. You know, I'm so mad about the fact that not only did we cheated out of any kind of, like, remembrance for Josh, but I don't think they're really going to do anything with Greenlee either.
And she's really not really dead.
I've been telling you that Guiding Light this whole week was dealing with Coop stuff.
We didn't get one for Dixie, did we?
No. No, not a real good one. Ugh. Coop's death on Guiding Light has been all about this. And you talk about playing moments. I mean, this week on Guiding Light has been phenomenal. The actors have been amazing. And I wish that all my children would give us that.
Yeah.
Because if you're going
to
kill... This
clearly,
is
it's too much to ask.
I would have rather had Greenlee die and also have like a funeral and have everybody cry. You know what I mean? Like, because that's what happened with Coop. Coop was in a car accident. And this whole week, he was lingering on, and the people got to say goodbye to him. And they didn't think they were saying goodbye to him. They thought he was going to make it. And let me tell you something. He knew. Because you supposedly, when your body is like that, you know
ABC has no balls. If an actress said to me, after we had gone through so much to bring her back, and we'll do all this controversy and all this crap, and she said, I don't want to renew. I don't like it. I'd be like, all right, you know what? We're going to obliterate your character. Well, we're going to put a freaking bullet in the middle of your head.
But see, it's not even about obliterating the character revenge.
No, I don't mean it that way. What right. I'm saying is that if she's, as the actress, is going to make the decision to leave, then she needs to leave with a real death, like you said, and a real funeral.
But see, the thing is, like, why are you paving the way for her to come back? She's already come back once. It didn't work. And plus, face facts, the only time that she was working was when she was with Leo. You have given her nothing but sub-inferior guys to play opposite.
She could have worked with Jake. Those two
hideous Spanish brothers.
She could have worked amazingly with Jake.
Adam is like, you could have put her with Jake, but you didn't. So my
they left
is
her
like,
with Adam for a year almost. Almost the whole year she was back, she was with that Adam. Numbskull.
Exactly. And I got to tell you,
I've been pissed if I was Rebecca. Pissed!
I got to shout out Daytime Confidential, because they put something that I was amazed. Supposedly, the cast that got in line and the crew gave John Driscoll a farewell party. And on YouTube, there was like 3 minutes of you know, his little farewell party. It was very touching and very emotional. And the thing that I loved about John Driscoll's speech, because he had me crying, was, you know, he was visibly upset. You know, he was touched by everything. And he goes, you know, he goes, as much as I didn't want to leave, you know, I realized that what's more important is overall the art and for the story of the show and what's most important. And he was able to realize that this was an important... See, they killed this character off, but they didn't just kill him off. They killed him off with a purpose and a reason to advance the storyline. Mm-hmm. And he realized that his departure was...
That's what
was,
I mean. I guess
and
that's what
it
I mean.
Was the, he was looking at the bigger picture. And I thought that was such a beautiful statement for him to say, because you know what? You're trying to make this show the best that it can be. You're trying to save it from getting cancellation. And this is giving these actors something to play.
But
it's brilliant. And it's reality. People die.
But I also think my point is not so much that they should like do it in revenge. My point is that at some point ABC needs to get some balls, because they're afraid, because Rebecca says she wants to leave and they're afraid, oh, we're losing this great character. They play middle of the road. And middle of the road will always mean safe, boring storytelling. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if that's the actor's decision, then ABC needs to make a bold choice, just like they used to. That gave us the death of Jenny, which was one of the most... I still cry about that. That gave us the death of Jesse, which I still cry
about.
Yeah,
I mean, just because he's alive now doesn't negate what was played back then
was beautiful and unforgettable.
Yeah. And you need to do more stuff like that. You need to make these shows... You talk about the shows being relevant. Make them relevant.
Well, it was at least decent this week.
No, it was. I have to say, we give props out. Friday Night Lights, people. If you're not watching Friday Night Lights, you're missing one of the best shows on TV. I cannot tell you, every episode
next to Sober
makes
House
me cry. Do not compare that drug addict reality show to my Friday Night Lights.
Sober House is getting
crazy. Friday Night Lights, please. It's amazing.
Sober House is crazy.
Oh, God.
You got people ODing. You got people going back on a weed, back on a crack pipe, back on a booze.
Damages. Do you watch Damages with Glenn Close?
No, I don't watch that.
Another phenomenal show.
All right, fine. If you want to write us, email us the questions. You have a better shot of getting a question heard if you email it. I'll be honest with you.
We ran a little bit long. That's why we didn't answer. We'll try to answer these a lot in the next one. We got all your questions.
Yes, we do. We saved them. So write to us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. You can try the MySpace page.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
Why do you mean? You know you don't check the MySpace page.
I don't check it that much.
So don't listen to her. Don't send anything to MySpace.
I'm trying to do Facebook.
We're trying to do Facebook. Nobody does MySpace anymore. Let's face facts. Everybody's on Facebook.
I'm going to check it one last time. So go to www.myspace.com/Pine Valley Podcast. Do the best thing for all of us, really. Go to the website. The blog site, pinevalleypodcast.com. Click on to the link that brings you to the blog page. There's a couple other links there. I got to change them because they're kind of old. A special thanks, as always, to Louis2K. He provides us with our great openings. And that's about it. You got anything else?
I thought I did, but it escaped my... Oh, yeah. And if you like this show, let people know about it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Let people know about the Pine Valley Podcast.
Listen, go to iTunes. Give us reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, let people know you like us.
Only good reviews. Bad reviews are not allowed on iTunes.
They are?
They're not allowed.
Really?
They don't let you do anything less than 5 stars. So when you go to click on your rating, you have to put 5 stars.
Well, you know what? Like my mama always said...
I'm just kidding.
I thought you were serious.
It's a little joke.
I don't know nothing about iTunes. I've never been on iTunes.
You can rate us.
Listen, like my mama always said, what? If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, then come sit by me. That's from Steel Magnolias. That's one of my... I love these Steel Magnolias. All right,
fine.
Line.
That's a whole other podcast. Right. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jerry Nutson.
And here's a little something just for you.
No! 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 You can't put her in the ground! No! Mom, don't leave me!
Oh, darling!
Don't leave me, Mom! Please don't go! No! No, Mom, please don't go! Please don't leave me! I'm so sorry for everything! I'll do anything you want, really. Please don't leave me, Mom. Please don't leave
Erica,
me. No.
Your mother is at rest now. Let her lie in peace.
No. No, I will not let you put her in
Erica,
the ground.
Please,
no.
Come with me.
No, let go of me. You go. Oh, Mom, stop them, please. Now don't leave me. Don't let them take you from me, Mom. Please. I need you. Don't leave me.
Erica,
please don't leave
Erica,
me.
It's all right.
No,
Erica, it will be okay.
You have
Erica,
to
listen
stop.
To your brother, please.
No, just,
we know you're upset, Erica.
No, you just get
it.
Away from me.
Now, come on.
Get away from me. Step out. You cannot do this. I will not let you put my mother in the ground. I will not let you put dirt on my mother. No, it's all right, Mother. I'm going to protect you, Mom. It's okay.
Erica,
they won't take you
come
from
here, honey,
they
honey,
won't.
Look at me.
No,
look at me, honey.
Let go of
no,
me.
No, Erica,
let
stop.
Let go of
I'm
me.
Down.
No, I need my mother. I have to help her. Jack, let me go to her. I have to help her. Jack, shut up. My mother is running out of air in there. She could die in there. She could die. My mother is...